Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, our text is the lesson from Isaiah 40, especially verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. This is the word of the Lord. A pastor in the twilight of his ministry was once asked, "If you had to do it all over again, would you do anything differently?" And he immediately answered, "I would comfort more." That's a good answer. And I guess if anyone would ask me that question, I would use that same answer. I would comfort more. I mean, there are so many problems out there that it's easy to focus on the problems, easy to focus on the problem people. But whenever the problem is sin, the only solution is the Savior. So in the text, God directs our attention to the Savior, and in him, more comfort. No, Jesus hadn't become incarnate yet, as Isaiah had promised in chapter 7 and 9. Jesus isn't visible on the cross as the suffering servant that he will promise in chapter 53. But in the gracious plan of God, it's all in place, all ready to unfold, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When your God has spoken the words, "Comfort, comfort my people," it was sure then, and it's sure now, just as it will be forever in heaven. God comforts more, so that all will know that the price of sin has been more than paid. Well, the prophet was instructed to speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was tired of fighting, weary from warfare. They weren't really very good at it. They weren't very good at fighting because Jerusalem, the city of God, the people of God, the whole nation of God, had the very best defense system ever. God himself was their defense. God promised to protect them. But they had been unfaithful to God. And finally, God let down the defenses. They would become captives in a country that was not their country. All of this because their fighting, their warfare was with God. Their sins had separated them from God, and when the prophet said, "Repent," they didn't repent anymore. So now their sins have exiled them from God. Now that's a terrible thing, and it must have finally gotten their attention. Commenting on this text, Luther wrote, "God's people are those who need comfort because they have been wounded and terrified by the law, and they are an empty vessel capable of receiving comfort. Only those who are afflicted have comfort and are capable of it, because comfort means nothing unless there is a malady." Well, God doesn't forgive without repentance, so this affliction, this malady must have worked to bring Jerusalem to her knees, because God comforts with the forgiveness of sins. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly. Her sin has been paid for from the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. They were sinful people, but they were God's people, and God comforts more. Well, what about us? We know warfare. We know terrorism. With a patriotic holiday just over, we heard many, many times the cost of warfare paid in human lives, and that cost is still being paid each day. But we also know what it's like to fight against God. It's a very human thing to do. Adam started it. Jacob continued it, literally wrestling with God and known for it by his limp. We still wrestle with God. And what sort of limp do we have to show for it? We have sins that cling heavily to us. Maybe the worst, maybe the one which clings the most, is that we may not want the warfare to end. Luther also said, all tyrants are unwilling to see their warfare ended, but want it to be perfected. We don't want to stop this war with God because we want to win. We want to have our way. Now, winning isn't so bad when you're fighting terrorists, but when we're at war with God, we are the tyrant. So God comes to us with the word of his law to bring us to repentance. And we fight that word. What malady will it take to bring us to sadness, to trouble? What warfare will finally weary us to fall on our knees in repentance? But why go there? Why not respond to the power of the law to do its work, to make us that empty vessel capable of receiving comfort? We are sinful people. We are stubborn people. But we are still God's sinful, stubborn people. And God comforts more, so that we will know that the price of our sin has been more than paid. Well, God comforted the people of Isaiah's day with these memorable words of our text. But I wonder if his people fully appreciated them. God declared the end of the war with words of comfort and peace, but when they looked around, it looked like the war was still being waged. The Babylonian captivity wasn't canceled. And who was to speak these words? One commentator said that these words seem to be God speaking to himself, because these are God-centered words and not man-centered. Well, there we have the very definition of the gospel when it comes to preaching. Things that have to do with God and his actions, not things that have to do with us and what we do or don't do or should or shouldn't do. The comfort of God is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the real comfort hadn't happened yet, except in the mind and in the plan of God. And the word comfort is repeated so that the people of Jerusalem got the message. And to make it even more God-centered, God says that they would receive double for all their sins. No one could even make up half of the smallest of all sin. But God makes up double for all sins, because God comforts more. Well, the message of the text hasn't changed for us. God has entered our war and declared it over. The war on terror isn't over. There are active wars going on a couple of places in the world, and it wouldn't surprise us if another one started any day. Those wars will go on, as the Bible says elsewhere. But the war against God is over. The war against sin is over, because Christ won the war and gave us the victory. These are God's proper and tender words. You will speak them. Receive them for yourselves also. God has paid double for your sins. Once tyrants in the war against God, God has entered the war. Comfort. Comfort my people, says not some impersonal word or message, but says your God. And when God says my people, referring to us, and still claims to be your God, that's comfort That's God-centered. That's gospel. Last Friday, our Matins reading from the Lutheran Confessions was from the Formula of Concord's article on law and gospel. Time is shorter today, so I'll remind you from the epitome. The gospel is, strictly speaking, precisely a comforting and joyful message which comforts consciences that are frightened by the law. Since we teach that the gospel must predominate in our teaching and preaching, God directs us to comfort more. A good reflection at the twilight of ministry, a great aspiration at the dawning of ministry. Because God comforts more and more. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.